Go for Leadership, the podcast with Daniel and Gerd.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Go for Leadership podcast. Today with me is Frank Gabarial. He is with me for talking about leadership.
Go for Leadership interviews.
Frank, can you give me a 30 seconds introduction of yourself? Who are you?
Hi, my name is Frank Gabarial and I am a son of immigrants from Mexico. I am first generation college graduate. I am first generation professional, and I never believe in the imposter syndrome. I always believe in leadership.
I like that. And leadership is our word. So maybe you can give us also your definition of your, let's say, of leadership. How would you define leadership?
Leadership is in different forms. You have to be a servant leader. You have to be willing to serve others before serving self. You have to serve with authenticity. And more importantly, you have to really show corazón, heart, that it matters to really care for others before caring for yourself, purpose of, you know, really looking at in terms of a leadership model. You really have to look at how and where that person is at in their life. For example, if the person is just graduating from college, it's important not only to network, but to connect that person with the right role model, the right mentor, to establish that relationship early on. Because as I experienced in my life as a first generation graduate from college, it was a difficult navigation to get to where I am today. So I understand it's important to always elevate the future leaders.
So that's a very nice perspective, because I've talked with one of my friends actually that he gave a lot of responsibility of to me when I was young and becoming a leader of a team. So do you think it's also important as a leader to give responsibility to your teams and in particular to graduates to help them grow? Or how would you describe that process to help
younger? Of course. Yeah, of course. You know, one thing that is for sure is I'm a competitor. I attribute that to playing sports early on. I played soccer. I ran track. And I always remember a coach who believes in you is a coach who's going to provide more responsibilities. There's a saying, there's people who bark and there's people who bite. And the folks who bark aren't really ready for being proactive to really bite into that steak, if you will. So, you know, we're all hungry. In other words, when we're hungry, we're going to do what it takes to succeed. So the responsibility of a mentor or coach is to really delegate the role of taking action, not just being loud or not just barking, but really being proactive and taking action is so much more important. So the role of a great coach or a mentor, and I consider myself a mentor today to many folks, is to provide the responsibilities. But at the same time, when you're providing that, you also have to lead by example. And what I mean by that is lead with action. Just don't talk the talk, walk the walk, and show purpose. Purpose is really about showing that you care, but at the same time, you know, being tough but fair is those two elements that I really believe in. If you're going to be tough, you also have to be fair, because people really react and engage to a person who's respectful. In other words, if you're going to demoralize a person that you're leading in front of others, then that person's motivation and scaling to be successful will diminish. But if you provide the responsibility to an individual by showing that you care, by still at the same time being, you know, pretty tough, then I think there's going to be more engagement and you're going to see better results.
I like that a lot. So now getting into the material of the different generations, maybe, do you see differences between let's say the younger generations that you mentor, your mentees, because I see these days generations that maybe just don't want to get responsibility or lead teams. They just want to do their standard job and have other priorities. Do you agree, or do you see there some evolution?
You know, the evolution is interesting because I'm actually working on a book on the digital evolution for Latinos and Latina leaders. And I think the divide is really between social media and, you know, the era of, I'm just a little bit older than you, but it's still within the era of time frame that you and I have experienced, where you could go out and play ball, or you could go out and have fun and socialize with your friends. And the social norm today is really of social media. So we have to understand what motivates millennials or Generation Z. And it really is about spacing and time frame and understanding that they will get the job done, but it has to be in terms of you know, understanding the environment. And the environment is social media, and the climate is going to be stormy, if you will, no pun intended, if you try to pressure a millennial or a Generation Z to think along the lines of how we grew up. Those cliches really get under the skin of Generation Z or millennials. So we have to really understand, well, what is their process? If their process is of social media norms, then we have to really do our research. And we already understand the elements, and we understand the framework of how to motivate others, but we have to understand how to motivate, you know, the folks that of today's climate, because they're motivated, they're resilient. In fact, today's generation, whether it's Generation Z or millennials, are much more resilient than you and I were, because look at what they're experiencing today under COVID-19, the remote learning. You have to be so much more motivated, so much more research oriented to really thrive in today's
fully agree.
Environment. Yeah.
No, fully and agree.
They're doing that.
And I think, I can observe that with my own daughter being alone in your room trying to study. It's kind of a long distance or far distance learning situation. And I've always told that there's no method for me. I need to be in front or in contact with a teacher. And let's maybe switch gears a little bit. Also with, let's say, a common Latin connection we both have, do you think that there's a difference between a leader, let's say, from a Latin American country and maybe from the US where you're living now? Is there a difference? Do you see differences?
Daniel, I love that question. I love it because I experienced it firsthand when I was fortunate that my book, Building the Latino Future, was translated into 14 Latin American countries. It was translated into Spanish and distributed in 14 Latin American countries. And I was very blessed and grateful that I had the opportunity to speak at 9 beautiful cities in Colombia. And I remember a conference that was a leadership summit. And there was this person who was the keynote. I was the opening keynote, but this person was a closing keynote. And I wanted to gauge this person's leadership. And I talked to him a little bit about a vision I had for creating the Silicon Valley Latino Leadership Summit. This was a year before it became a reality and became into fruition. And I asked him, about Latino leadership. And he looked at me, and in Spanish, he said, well, there's really no antecedent. There's really nothing that comes before a leader in Latin America. We don't put Latino or Latina in front of leader. We just become leaders. So, yeah. And I found that interesting because in the US, we have to fight much more in terms of systematic racism, in terms of inequities, in terms of inequalities. Sure, South America has it in terms of colorism, but in the United States, in terms of executive roles, C-suite roles, Silicon Valley, it much more of a reminding folks that we're Latina, Latino, and now the term Latinx leaders, so that they could see that we are made up of a community that's diverse, but at the same time, we have to put that coin, if you will, in front of a leadership concept. And in Latin America and South America, my experience was when that person who was the, you know, opening, I mean, the closing keynote, when he said, oh, you know, I don't put a Latino in front of my leadership role. I am just a leader. So I found that very interesting.
No, absolutely. And I think now going a little bit into the team setup, that of course, diversity, also having diverse leadership styles, depending on the environments and the situation that you are in, is I think something that of course depends on the leadership skills of each individual. For example, I experienced working in Latin America that there are, let's say, certain attitudes that I've experienced there that can help in a situation that we are currently now in, right? In for example, in Corona, that, for example, maybe an more German-oriented folk, which is more structured maybe, has maybe difficulties to scope with. So do you think there are different styles that, not talking about stereotypes, but that are, let's say, different styles that can be recognized, let's say the Latin American style, so to say?
You know, Daniel, as I'd mentioned in the back room, in the green room, how football, soccer is what made me become and understand teamwork and leadership. And I realized that I saw this great documentary on Pele just a couple of days ago when it was released on Tuesday. And one of the things I noticed was the racism that Pele had to face, even as the greatest player of the world during that time. And in 1970, when they played Italy in the final, what I noticed, Daniel, is the fact that Italy had all white players. And during that era in 1970, Italia, up until recently, they had their first African-born player, now Italian citizen by the name of Bocatelli. He was born in Ghana, but he was adopted by an Italian family. And they placed him on the team because of his style of play and the progression and how the game has changed. And I say that because it's the same analogy on how corporate America, in terms of changing and keeping up with customer base, they have to change the strategy and recruit more folks of color, whether Latino, Black, or others that really feel left out from that corporate table. Because if it doesn't change, you're going to start to see many more entrepreneurs and many more venture capital folks that are going to invest and build an ecosystem that is going to show America, we really need to be in this together, because diversity, just like a football, a soccer game, wins. Diversity always wins. And that's why I love soccer so much, because you see the common thread is really to win as a team. The ball is kicked around by folks from different nations across the world. And the concept for a business should be the same. That at the end of the day, the bottom line is to succeed together, regardless of color. And we have to bring color into the mix, because the regardless part is something that they've been disregarding. In other words, the corporate executive teams have been disregarding us. So we really need to be part of that.
No, and I think if COVID showed something, is that we are living in one little planet. Right, it's one right. humankind, and I think we all need to work together to solve the problems of the decade for our kids, for the next generations. And I think we just cannot allow as a global race do not use the best people we can get from different colors, from different religions, different genders, in order to form teams, to bring corporations, to bring projects, to bring initiatives forward to success.
You know, that is such a great point that I really understand. You know, with the vaccine, we're building immunity, you know, with COVID and from it. But I think we need to have a vaccine for racism, a vaccine to systematically change things, an educational vaccine for folks that are underserved. And you're absolutely right. We have experienced, as one big planet, the seriousness of COVID-19. But at the same time, we also have to pay attention to the ones, say, for example, in the United States, that are being the most impacted are two of the races that I believe are dying by the thousands, which are my community, the Latino community, and the African American community. And it's really something that is heartbreaking, because you and I spoke a little in Spanish in the back room, and I understand here in the U.S., we have to have more liaisons and folks that are really going out to the community, whether it's setting up mobile vans or whatever it takes to not only have the vaccine available, but have a person who could really talk to our community and connect and say, it's going to be okay to get this vaccine. Otherwise, Daniel, as we progress in time, we're still going to need that vaccine for racism.
I absolutely agree. And I think that's a big statement that I think all of us as human kind should understand that, like I mentioned, right? I mean, it's us on planet Earth. So maybe to switch gears a little bit. So you have showed that you have thrived throughout your career to succeed, and of course, all that started once. So maybe you can give us a quick glimpse. What would you have said to yourself before you started your professional career? So the younger Frank.
Yeah, I love that, Daniel. I would have said to myself, ask more questions in middle school and in high school on how to apply to, for example, a Stanford or a Harvard, because I just feel that too many times when we're not asking questions, we're not going to challenge and change the narrative. And I always empower others that are younger than I am to always ask questions, because your questions are all valid. And I feel that my younger self didn't ask enough questions. And today, that's why I love to have these type of talks, as well as a dialogue that's ongoing, because communication really is a strength. It's not a weakness. It's not showing weakness. It really is empowering others.
I love that.
Go for Leadership, the podcast with Daniel and Gert.
Frank, thank you so much for being our guest today, and stay healthy and talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Daniel. And by the way, I just lastly wanted to say that I love Germany and Stuttgart, where you're based, because I've been to a World Cup there and I loved it. Thank you so much.
Go for Leadership, the podcast.